The sound of his boot heels on rock was very loud. He didn't want to look down, but had no choice. If he didn't mind where he was going, he would be doomed for sure. The rock bridge was as wide as a village path when he began, but by the time he got to the middle, as he had feared, although he had hoped it was just his eyes playing tricks, it was only the width of his shore boots. He tried walking with his arms outstretched, but a breeze came blowing down the gorge, billowing his shirt and making him feel like a kite about to lift off. He lowered them and walked on, heel to toe and heel to toe, wavering from side to side. He became convinced his heart was beating its last frenzied beats, his mind thinking its last random thoughts. Mama will never know what happened to me. Halfway across, the bridge was at its narrowest, also its thinnest. Tim could feel its fragility through his feet and could hear the wind playing its pitch pipe along its eroded underside. Now, each time he took a step, he had to swing a boot out over the drop. "Don't freeze," he told himself, but he knew that if he hesitated, he might do just that. Then, from the corner of his eye, he saw a movement below, and he did hesitate. Long, leathery tentacles were emerging from the flowers. They were slate gray on top and as pink as burned skin underneath. They rose toward him in a wavery dance, first two, then four, then eight, then a forest of them. Daria again said, "I advise speed, Tim." He forced himself to start walking again, slowly at first, but faster as the tentacles continued to close in. Surely no beast had a 1,000-foot reach, no matter how monstrous the body hiding down there in the flowers. But when Tim saw the tentacles thinning out and stretching to reach even higher, he began to hurry. And when the longest of them reached the underside of the bridge and began to fumble its way along it, he broke into a run. The waterfall, no longer red, now a fading pinkish orange, thundered ahead of him. Cold spray spattered his hot face. Tim felt something caress his boot, seeking purchase, and threw himself forward at the water with an inarticulate yell. There was one moment of freezing cold. It encased his body like a glove, and then he was on the other side of the falls and back on solid ground. One of the tentacles came through. It reared up like a snake, dripping, and then withdrew. "Daria, are you all right?" "I'm waterproof," Daria replied with something that sounded suspiciously like smugness. Tim picked himself up and looked around. He was in a little rock cave. Written on one wall, in paint that once might have been red, but had over the years or perhaps centuries faded to dull rust, was this cryptic notation. John 3:16. Fear hell, hope for heaven. Man Jesus. Ahead of him was a short stone staircase filled with fading sunset light. To one side of it was a litter of tin cans and bits of broken machinery. Springs, wires, broken glass, and chunks of green board covered with squiggles of metal. On the other side of the stairs was a grinning skeleton with what looked like an ancient canteen draped over its ribcage. "Hello, Tim," that grin seemed to say. "Welcome to the far side of the world. Want a drink of dust? I have plenty." Tim climbed the stairs, skittering past the relic. He knew perfectly well it wouldn't come to life and try to snare him by the boot, as the tentacles from the flowers had tried to do. Dead was dead. Still, it seemed safer to skitter. When he emerged, he saw that the path once more entered the woods, but he wouldn't be there for long. Not far ahead, the great old trees pulled back, and the long, long upslope he had been climbing ended in a clearing far larger than the one where the bumblers had danced. There, an enormous tower made of metal girders rose into the sky. At the top was a blinking red light. "You have almost reached your destination," Daria said. "The North Forest Kinnickdogan is 3 wheels ahead." The click came again, even louder than before. "You really must hurry, Tim." As Tim stood looking at the tower with its blinking light, the breeze that had so frightened him while crossing the rock bridge came again. Only this time its breath was chilly. He looked up into the sky and saw the clouds that had been lazing toward the south were now racing. "It's the Stark Blast, Daria, isn't it? The Stark Blast is coming." Daria didn't reply, but Tim didn't need her to. He began to run.